been thinking more of our conversation a couple of minutes ago about being the bride of Christ. And if you've been here very often, you know that I am an illustrated preacher. I mean, I have to visualize things in order to understand things. So I'm going to show you a couple of things here this morning. As a bride of Christ, I need you to use your imagination. This is actually a wedding gown without any wrinkles on it, okay? And the minute I got born again, confessed Jesus Christ, my Savior and Lord, boom, He came into my life, and the blood of Christ forgave me my sins, and I became His bride, okay? Okay. I know. Now I'm getting ready for my wedding to take place. Okay? I'm kind of nervous. Any wrinkles back here? Look okay? All right, looks pretty good back here, doesn't it? Well, I kind of sit down for a minute. Man, I'm getting tired sitting down. I stand back up. Any wrinkles back here? Oh, got a wrinkle. Oh, hey, will you get that wrinkle out? You coming? Okay, and pretty soon you iron it out. And then pretty soon the time goes on, I sit down again. And what's going to happen when I sit down again? I'm going to wrinkle it again, okay? All right, well, I get back up again. Man, I don't want to be wrinkled. Hey, will you get this wrinkles out for me? Boom. See? And as I sit down, every time I sit down, I get wrinkles in my dress. But when I get back up again, I want to be ready for the wedding. Will you get the wrinkles out? Now, if I sat down, man, that's it. I'm not kidding. I'm tired. I'm going to go just the way I am, wrinkled and all. I'm waiting for that music to start. Wow, I'm going to stand up and head down the aisle with a wrinkled dress. That means I don't care anymore. I really want to be the best bride I can for the groom. Well, Jesus calls the church, us, the bride. Now, I know, guys, it's kind of hard for us to figure that we're a bride. That's why I put the wig on. Hey, if I can do this, you can consider yourself a bride for a minute, okay? And so, as the bride of Christ, when I get born again, He puts this dress on me without spot or wrinkle. And as I'm waiting for the music to start, man, I sin. What do I do? I repent. Forgive me. Why? Because I don't want sin to separate me from my groom, okay? Now, I can step two more steps and sin again. What do I do? Repent. Two more steps. What am I going to do? Listen, yes. But when it gets to the point, they say, okay, I understand that this is sin, but you know, I'm just sick and tired of repenting. I'm just going to hang out in this sin for a while. Then what happens? I am not preparing myself for the Lord. Okay? So I didn't want anybody to think today, well, man, you're going to be the bride of Christ. It's our hearts. Desire is to please Jesus. Amen? Amen. And as we hear the word, it is designed to flush out the things, the ugliness in us, and take over. Now, if my wife would... Oh, wait, you're not my wife right now. If you would finally say, well, quit sitting down on that stool, you will get wrinkled. Oh, wow. Thank you for telling me how I was getting wrinkled all the time. So I go over here and I sit down on a chair. Okay? Hey, don't sit down in that chair, you're going to get wrinkled. Okay. So I go over here and sit down, I don't know, maybe in a recliner. I'm doing different things, but every time she tells me that he's getting wrinkles on you, okay, I don't do that again. And that's the way our walk with the Lord is. Yes, sin is sin. But when we recognize something, man, it's destroying my life, get away from it, we might walk into something different, and we find out it's sin also. What are we going to do? Walk away from that. And folks, this is a continuing... I'm going to take my dress off. But this is a continuing thing with the Lord. And what the devil wants to do is get you to the point that you don't care anymore. You don't get in your head and say, well, listen, you said a prayer one time, and that was it, that's good enough. But he doesn't want you mature, because as we mature, we tell the people, hey, listen, I sat there before, Steve, I got wrinkled, man, don't do that, you know. Like Brother Tim back here earlier, you know, town is, I got upset, you know, I didn't go outside because, oh, awesome. So we learn from that also, learning and walking and following the Lord. And that's why he's come back, for those who love him. You know, we are never perfect outside of him. You know, we are covered by the blood of Christ, and as we stay under, meaning as we stay under following him, repenting of our sins, and desire for him in our life, we're going to grow more and more and more. Amen? So be encouraged. Man, my hair all messed up now. I have weak hair, do I?
You're good.
Thank you. So why come to church to hear the Word of God? To learn how to be holy? Okay. And this is the reason why we're trying to get video going, because people have no idea what I'm doing who listens to me on the internet. But we have been, and we are today even, we're looking at what happens to us when we get born again. And when we get born again and baptized, the Spirit of God comes into us, and he brings what we call the fruit of the Spirit into our life. And that fruit will start growing, maturing in us, and bring all the attributes that we truly, truly want. And the more we hear that Word of God, the more that fruit takes place in our life. Now, I said before, who wants more peace in their life? We all do. Who wants more joy in their life? We all do, okay? Who wants more patience in their life, you know? We all do. At least I want my wife to have more patience, you know what I'm saying? And we're looking at patience today, but to look at our life and realize that when we were born, this is going to be us. This is you as a baby. Coochie, coochie, coochie. Even though as beautiful we are born in sin. We are born with a sin nature. That's what the coffee represents there. Okay? Now, praise God, until a child reaches the age of accountability, covered by the Lord, meaning a child that passes away goes into the arms of Jesus. He has no knowledge of sin to repent from it. Once a child, once you and I reach the age of knowing right from wrong, and that can go anywhere from 8 to 112, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard to say, everyone's different. And then we start becoming accountable, you know. You're more lenient with your 2-year-old than you are your 20-year-old, right? Yeah, okay. Well, that's the way the Lord is. Once we come into the knowledge of now, we know we have sin, we have a sin nature. Now we're responsible for our sins. Well, we live our life and we grow into the world, and this is about the Lord. More and more of the world is poured into us. And this is us. This is going to be games, TV shows, our lives, everything. And look at that. It just doesn't sometimes feel like that's your life right there? I'm getting on my jacket. That's okay. It's all confused. And that's us. Now, even like this, inside, a person has a desire for a better life. A person has a desire. Man, there's something inside of me. I'm not sure what it is, but my life isn't going right. I've tried different things, man, different programs. I've joined different organizations. But there's something inside of me. Man, I don't know what it is. And you look around, you find someone that, man, somehow they got their act together. You look at them, and man, they got the same circumstances, but man, they got a peace about them. What is that? It's Jesus. My life is just like this also. Now, I saw a little fellow running around with a grin on his face, poor and a church mouse, and he had something I wanted, and that peace, that joy. I asked him what it was, and that's Jesus. Yeah, right. 6 years later, I found out he was right. It was Jesus. And today, As you and I gather, you might be like this right now. You're like this, but man, there's something different. I want something different in my life. I'm tired of going to see the same things. Well, as we come in here and gather, and we start hearing the Word of God, when we start inviting, when we invite the Lord into our life, it's kind of like this water going through this vessel. Now, you can notice right now, it's still cloudy, right? But not near as cloudy as it was before. So, oh man, I'm starting to feel a bit better now. You know, when you invite Christ into your life, He comes in. He's kind of like this water. He's just come in. And as much as you allow Him in, is how much He's going to take out of you. And as time goes on, man, as the Word of God just comes into your life and you surrender to it and start obeying it, and if I had enough water here, I could keep going and going, that stain would be clear down here. Hardly anything. And that's be our life in Jesus. I know for some of you, man, I've been coming to church hearing the Word of God, but I don't know if it really doing any difference. It has to. He says His Word will not come back void. You start making changes in our life that we don't really recognize because sometimes it's a slow change. You know, if you ever, I don't know, if you ever go on a diet and you don't think you're really losing anything, and one day you try to put on your pants that's so tight and you put them on and they actually fit. You can breathe when you got them on. That change was taking place in your life. He wasn't really sure. But you heard that it would make a difference if you kept back on the donuts and candy. And so you did, and look what it is in your life. And this is us today. I mean, it has to start somewhere. You know, with me, I was 43 years old. I realized that everything I was trying to do to have peace in my life and this joy wasn't doing it. In fact, a lot of it would bring me more... I'm feeling worse. You know? Sometimes you think one more item I can buy, one more thing I can have will bring me that peace and joy, and it's the opposite because then you got to upkeep it. If it's your 19th automobile that you got in the driveway, then you got to put insurance on it, you know, it doesn't bring that peace and joy. But it was Jesus. Why? Because God created you and I. He created us knowing what needs that we have. That number one need would be in fellowship with Him. But that need, that desire to be with Him was severed back in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned. And I know a lot of us say, yeah, but you know, if God didn't want me this way, He would never have made me this way, right? I tell my wife, hey, talk to God, He made me this way. And He didn't, did He? No. Who made me this way? I did. I was born this way. Probably was. Because see, God only made two people. He made Adam and Eve. That's all He ever made. And told them to multiply. And before they did, they fell into sin. And they multiplied us with a sin nature. That's why Jesus said we need to be born again. Amen. You know, and we get born again by accepting His forgiveness. And the born again is like you're starting all over again. And how do we learn to walk with Jesus? Through His Word. How do we get born again and know God's ways? Boom. How did your children know your way? You raised them, right? This is what we do here. Come on. You grab them by the hand and follow around with them, you know. Yeah, they might crap in their pants once in a while, do things like that, but you didn't throw them out. Let's clean off. Now what happened later on? You taught them how to be potty trained, right? Yes. God's the same way with us. You know? Same way with us. Being born again is a process. We never had a baby born and put him in a car to drive. Thank God for that one, huh, guys? We raised him. We actually raised him to be like us. Amen? It says God is our Heavenly Father. We surrender life to Him. We start following Him. We start knowing the ways that He wants. And starts changing our life. We honor Him all that we do. Like we shared yesterday at Steve, He's already prepared a place for every one of us. This world isn't our home. And someday, He's coming back to take us home. So we shouldn't get too comfortable in this world here. Because it's temporary. Whatever you have, You're going to leave somebody beside you. You're going to give it to your neighbors. Or your enemies. Or your kids. Yes. Yes. I'm at the point in my life now, I tell my kids, you know, quit buying me stuff. Whatever you buy me, you're going to carry out later on. So, you know.
So now they buy things anyway.
They buy things they like. Yeah, yeah. I can understand why them shoes didn't fit me last birthday. You know, I understand now, you know. But allowing His Word to come into our life, and He starts changing us. And what Satan wants to do, he wants to shut that down. He'll try to convince you that you're not changing, you're no good. And Satan is a father of lies. He will lie to you and tell you everything that the opposite of God's Word. And how do we know what God says is by hearing His Word, by coming and listening. And He doesn't force us to do anything. You know, he gives us a good reason to follow Him, to obey Him, because He wants the best for us. But we have that ability to choose and not to choose. So His desire that we choose that we would fall in love with Him. And how did I fall in love with my wife? By understanding who she truly is, and my wife with me. Hanging out together, you know. I didn't run into you one day and, well, I guess I kind of fell in love with you the first day I saw you, you know. A little bit of love, a little bit of lust mixed in together, you know. But as we walk, yes, well, I love the way you walk. I love the way you talk. Oh, my. But that was just enticing me to get to know you more and more, you know. And I think the Lord does the same thing. He entices us. He gives us blessings and brings us closer to Him to really get to know Him. And that's where the Word of God comes in. But we've been looking at what the deeds of the flesh can do to us. Sin nature causes us to sin. Whether it be lying, cheating, stealing, it can be anything. Idolatry, fornication, homosexuality, gossiping. All kind of things that we've all done at one time or another. Or not all of those. But we've all done... But we've all been in sin. And that's because of the flesh. And we're trying to please the flesh. But when we get born again, now it's the Spirit. Spirit within us. That Spirit has changed. The Spirit that died in the garden, when we get born again, that Spirit comes back into us. And as we feed it the Word of God, it changes our life. And it brings, it restores what God had in our life from the very beginning. So the fruit we receive as a Christian is love. You know, the first thing that bang comes is love. And every one of them is born again. The first thing I fell in love with God's creation more and more. I fell in love with my wife more than I ever did in my entire life. Because that's God. God is love. Then we continue to brought joy into our life. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Then we looked at last week, or week before, was the peace that God gives us. We were looking at the peace that He gives us. And I'm thinking, is that where we ended at? Are we ready for patience? We're ready for patience. That's right. Now this is something that comes to grow in us. Okay? And again, Brother Tim back here kind of talked about patience. But you stayed inside instead of going outside. Amen? Yeah. But in Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2, he says, if you want to turn there, you can. I'll give you a second to get there. And what patience really means is to be long-tempered. You know anybody that's been short-tempered? Have you ever been short-tempered before? Fly off the handle. Well, patience is long-tempered. It doesn't say that we'll never get upset. But it's going to take us a lot longer to get there. So therefore, since we have so a great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance in the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Look around you now. There's your witnesses. You know, you're considered a saint as you surrender your life to Christ and follow Him. And you're surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses surrounding us. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. You notice He didn't say, lay aside the sins. He says, the sin. And it shows to us, and maybe at times you think, man, what is wrong with me? Man, I've been born again. Man, I love the Lord. But I guess there's one stupid sin that keeps coming back, tempting me. Anybody there? Amen. And you think, what is wrong? There's nothing wrong with you. He's telling you right there, man, we need to lay it aside. We just shouldn't be involved with it. But there's nothing wrong with you because Satan knows. He knows you. Remember, you wished to actually party with him one time. You hung out with him. Man, you were his. I was his for 43 years. He knows me pretty good. You know, we've been married. Wow. Oh, wow. I have a zinger there. We've been married almost 43 years. I'll hang out with you. You're not Satan. You know what I'm saying? But think of that. How well do you know me now than you did 43 years ago?
A lot more.
Well, when I hung out doing the things of the world, Satan got to know me better than anybody. He knew me better than myself. And there's that one sin, boy, that he always tried to bring back against me. Why? Because he wants me back. He doesn't like losing territory. He doesn't like losing people. You know why? Because he wants you in hell with them when God casts them down into hell. Think of that. You know, we all say, oh, Satan, just go back to hell where you come from. He has never been to hell yet. Hell was created for him, and someday he'll be locked in there. But he keeps coming against you and me because we are made in the image of God. And God is the one that gave us the dominion upon the earth. And as Christians, you gave that dominion back to God. So if he just gets you to fall, come back to sin, he'll have a little bit more territory. Be kind of like the great rush they had back out in the 1800s, the government get free land. Well, you wasn't born yet. But imagine this, if all of us is going to take off on the great gold rush, let's get out there, guys, and let's get ground for the assembly. Bum, bum, we're on a horse, we ran out there. We take over 5 states over there. Oh, awesome. Somebody else come along and say, hey, I want that back. Well, they wouldn't come against all of us to try to get all our territory back, would they? They come one at a time. Trying to convince you. Come on. Come back. One at a time, at a time, at a time. Trying to get that territory back. By deception, by lies. Trying to turn you against one another. You know, Steve's going to grab your gold there, Daryl, and take off. You know that? Anything. Trying to turn you against one another. To divide and split. And that's what he does in our individual lives. If you just get one of you guys to fall, point to me too, get us to fall, wow, look how detrimental that would be. One at a time. And he knows what that sin is, that he can, the anger, whatever it might be, whatever it is, gossiping, whatever it is, he knows what it is. And he'll try and try to get you to fall and just give up. So it's awesome if you can recognize what that one sin, that one main sin that you have trouble with, man, you know how to pray for yourself. Pray for myself? Yes. Anybody ever pray for themselves? All the time, Lord, give me strength. Give me your eyes to see, your mouth to speak, and your ears to listen. Because I know what Starkey would do. I want Jesus to answer. But we know that. And that's how we get to know our enemy. And we find ourselves falling into that trap less and less and less. But you know what happens? When you think you've just been, oh man, I no longer have any trouble with that. Feeling pretty good about yourself? Boom. Wow. How did I get back here? Because our adversary, he knows us. He'll wait. I ain't had any problem with that for years. What's wrong with me? Am I not born again? Did God leave me? No. God didn't leave you. But neither did the adversary, Satan. You see, he goes around. He prowls around trying to see who he can devour. Said that he roars like a lion. Like a lion, yeah. Roars like a lion, but he is not. We serve the Lion of Judah. He doesn't have to roar, because he's got the bite right now. But Satan will, he'll roar, try to scare you. And that's where, as you hear this word of God, man, you know who you are in Christ Jesus. When he roars, I shut up and get behind me in the name of Jesus. I don't live there no more. I'm not going there no more. That was part of my past. It's not me today. No matter where you come from, Bob, it's where you're going. And walking with Jesus. Walking with Jesus. Someday we'll walk right with him into the heavenlies. And reign there with him forever and ever and ever. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Run with endurance that you're not going to stop, you're not going to give up. And that's where our heart has to be at. Endurance is that you're determined. Whatever it takes, I'm not going to quit running this race. You know, if you ever watched, you know, I wasn't much of an athlete in school. I ran from the teachers, I ran from the principal, you know, I ran from everybody else. But we had people, I remember Dave Cheney was in a couple of grades ahead of me, and he ran track. And I'm telling you, I've seen that guy run with a pulled hamstring. I've seen him take this stuff called an atomic bomb, if everybody run track, and run on his legs, just getting loosened up. And he'd be out there in so much pain, but he had decided he's running this 440, whatever it might be. And he'd go through all type of pain and bandages and wrapping, just to get to the finish line. And you know what? A lot of times, he never came in first or second or third. But he had the endurance. He's going to run this race and do the best that he can. He's running against himself, if I can say it that way. Okay? And folks, that's what we are. I'm not running my race to outrun Kenny or Bob. I'm running my race to finish myself. And this race is getting across the finish line, which is heaven, which is the Lord. Having that endurance. And we get in our mind, I don't care what it's going to take. I don't care what, if I got to wrap myself up, I don't care what it is. I have decided to follow Jesus Christ, and I am going to have the endurance, and I'm not going to go back. I don't care what comes my way. I have nothing to go back to. I'm winning. I'm running my race. I'll win my race. And you will too, with that endurance. Can you imagine running in a track, and somebody's along the side every year throwing out oil? Stumbling blocks. If you ever have kids and then tacks, jump, yeah, the ball attacks. Yeah, you ever step on the thing? Oh my land! That's the enemy trying to stop us from finishing the race. And we have to learn that sometimes we're going to step on stuff. It's going to hurt, but we need to keep on going. Sometimes we're going to hop for a while. Sometimes we're going to barely move, but we're going to keep on going because we have decided we're going to run this race. We're going to be with the Lord. And we have the endurance to do that. That has to be set up here. It has to be up here. It has to get inside of us, into our spirit. You know, we can't have agitation. Well, I don't care. Hey, Steve, will we come to church today? Well, yeah, I mean, well, the Browns don't play till, well, they may not play at all, maybe, but the game don't start till 1 or 2, you know. I have nothing else really to do today, you know. I don't have any better offers out there anywhere. I haven't got invited to dinner today, you know. And, okay, but our dudes, man, I'm gone. You know, I want to hear the word of God. I need that strength, you know. If the game starts at 1 and the preacher's got a big mouth today, I'm going to record it. You know, and I'll watch it later on. But I need that. I need that word. I need that strength. I need my brothers and sisters to encourage me on. Hang in there, man. Made it through another week. You can do this. That endurance. Have you ever been in any competitive sport before or anything that you might have been doing and someone's saying, come on, you can do it. Come on. Come on. You know, I had my wife, I'm going through my surgery. Encourage me. Come on. Come on. Come on. Praise the Lord. Man, start. He's going to raise up. He's going to raise up. That in my ear kept me going. Kept me going. Amen. And same with one another. Okay, come on, guys. Come on. Man, follow the Lord. Hey, watch that stumbling block. Let's get down your road. Hey, go this way. I'm like, hey, watch out. There's a trap been set for you. Satan set a trap for you. Man, don't go there. What do you mean? Tell me, I'm just telling you, you don't want to go to that place. I've heard about it. I know about it. Don't walk into that den. Well, I don't see anything else wrong with it. I'm just telling you. Do what you want to do, but I'm telling you, I see a big trap for you. You know? And you're not going to be able to get in there and out without having some type of damage done to you. You know, we all walk at different paces. We've all been born again, if you have been born again, but we're at different ages in our walk with the Lord. Amen? I mean, if I just started a karate class, and I was a purple belt, white belt, may have had no belts at all, I don't know what it is. If there was a fight going on, I took karate. And behind me, guys, hey, let me go with you. Hey, Chuck Norris, I don't need you, man. I don't need you, okay? And I go in there just because I know karate now. What's going to happen to me? I'm going to get thumped pretty good, right? If Chuck Norris behind me say, listen, man, you don't want to go there. You're not going to survive it. But if you're going to go, let me go with you. I got it, man. Wow. What would be the smartest thing to do?
Get behind him.
Get behind Chuck. Amen. And what's the greatest thing that we can do is get behind Jesus. And sometimes Jesus is in front of you and says, he ain't going to go there at all. Because he sees the plan of the devil. He sees that sin that easily grabs a hold of you is lurking around the corner. And he'll use people that you think that they're your friends, closest in your life. They can fall into temptation. And next thing you know, they're using them to come after you. So to know the Word of God, amen. Well, Daryl, I mean, I won't pick him. I always pick him. You always sit up front. I really appreciate it, Daryl. I really do. He does our slides and stuff. We don't have slides right now. But he always... He'll always try to compare ourselves to one another and not to Jesus. And we always got to keep our eyes on Him. You know, don't ever try to be like me. Try to be like Jesus. That's your goal. I have a heart and desire for Jesus Christ. But I'm not God. People will let you down from time to time. You know that, don't you? But Jesus never will. And when people let you down, just remember, they're only human. They're in the flesh. They might have the desire the best friend possibly to you, but they're only in the flesh, and sometimes things backfire on us. And sometimes we start having, I don't know, sometimes we get separated. If Satan separates families, man, he starts turmoil. If he separates his church, not his church, God's church, turmoil. And we recognize the things of the enemy. It says there in verse 2, fixing your eyes on Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith. Now when we say Jesus, we know that Jesus is the Son of God. He is a Word of God that come to life. Okay? So to fix our eyes on Christ is to fix it upon His Word, to hear His Word, to study His Word. He's the author and the perfecter of faith. And what does it take to do to run our race of endurance? It's faith in the Word of God. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So of all the stuff he went through, of all that you think of the physical torments he went through, the beating, the crown of thorns on his head, death on the cross, he called it joy. He called it joy. Despising the shame. I mean, he was crucified like a thief on a cross. Think of that. If somebody just happened to be passing through Jerusalem that day, just passing through on the day that Jesus was crucified, and they see Jesus hanging on the cross, and he goes, oh, hey, you got what he had coming to him. That thief, he deserved to be crucified. And Jesus was... He just said, hey, wait! No, listen! It's not me, no. I'm dying for your sins. Man, I'm here to save you. I'm here to rescue you. I don't want to see you in hell. He said nothing. He knew the outcome. He had to say a word. He knew what he was doing. They could insult him. But he knew that he was laying his life down for you and me. And folks, that's us nowadays. People can despise us, they can insult us, call us names. Your flesh wants to go, no, listen. No. I'm still following Jesus. I'm still praying for you. I'm going to tell you about Christ. He died on the cross for you. I'm not going to get upset. And Jesus didn't on the cross. I'm going to share what he says. I'm going to plant those seeds. I'm going on. And that's where we have to be at in these days. No matter what we endure. He endured the cross. You endured the sewer. See what I'm saying? It was still the... See what I'm saying, Tim? That's awesome. I mean, it's your testimony. It's your witness that day. And look how great you did, you know? Jesus was in the flesh when he's hanging on the cross. Remember that. And his heart was breaking. You know, he probably wanted to say something, but he said, no. You'll see later on what's all this about. Same with people in our lives when they treat us bad, and they come against us, and we still love them, we treat them good. They're going to look back later on like, man, look how I treated them. And they never retaliate. They never... Man, I would have cussed myself out. I would have punched myself. But they never did. And the thing of it is that we might be gone before they come to that realization. The love of the Word of God that we share with one another, it might not materialize in somebody's life until we're already gone. Whether we stepped into heaven or we've all been taken to heaven. But we have to have the faith in the Lord. Share my word. Speak it out. And I'll take it from there. I'll take it from there. And trust me, is what he's saying. Trust me. And for us to realize that, we can look how much our salvation cost Jesus. Everything. But he died for us. He died for our salvation. And sometimes, I really believe that people look at that and think nothing of it. If we really actually look at the cost that God spent to redeem us, the last thing we'd ever want to do, never ever want to do, is to sin. Not saying we won't. That'd be the last thing on our list. Man, I'm not, no. God loves me too much. But man. I feel like my wife, the last thing I want to do is to hurt her. Last thing. Now, I might say something. But the last thing I'd ever want to do is hurt my wife. It should be the same with the Master. Now Christ sits down at the right hand of the throne of God. He was buried, rose up again. We were baptized. The same Spirit that brought Christ back to life is living in us. He's in heaven today at the right throne. But he's still alive. He's alive. His Spirit lives in us. You know, someone said earlier, well, God still speaks to you. He does. He speaks through His Word. And that Spirit gives us communications with Him. And He gives us direction. But patience. Do you ever get tired of waiting on God? I think we all do probably at times. But God knows what's best. God knows what's best in your life and my life. And we see here, if you want to turn in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 13. I'm going to read to you verse 7 to 14 in 1 Samuel chapter 13. But it's concerning Saul. Saul is now the king of Israel. And you can have power for a while and then think you're greater than who gave you the power. And God can give us, God tells us, the Word of God says for us to follow Him. Follow his word. So don't lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him. In all our ways do what he says to do. And sometimes we get tired of waiting on God, but I'm going to show you something here where it can backfire on us. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 7, he says, also, some of the Hebrews crossed the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. But as for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. Man, they're going to go to war, and they're all following. They're following Saul. They're putting their faith in his leader. As in verse 8, it says, now, he waited, Saul waited 7 days according to the appointed time set by Samuel. Samuel the prophet. He's the priest. He told Saul what God wanted him to do. And he had told him, now you go and wait 7 days according to what is set by Saul. And what Saul would do would come and they'd offer a sacrifice to God before they went into battle. That's what the priest did. Saul was in charge of the army. Samuel was in charge. He's the priest in charge of the sacrifice to God. And in the Old Testament, you had your own duties to do. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. So Saul said, bring to me the burnt offerings and the peace offerings. And Saul, he offered the burnt offerings. As soon as he finished offering the burnt offerings, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him and to greet him. But Samuel said, but what have you done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattering from me, and that you did not come within the appointed days, and that the Philistines were assembling to Michmash, therefore I said, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not asked the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself and offered their burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, you have acted foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord will have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you to do. What happened was Saul sinned against God. And he let people pressure him into it. And it says here that, you know, he was told by Samuel, go assemble yourself and hang out there for 7 days. And he did that. Well, Samuel wasn't there right at the moment. So Saul said, well, I got the enemy, man, the enemy is getting ready to come against us. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going ahead and offer a burnt offering to the Lord, and we can go into battle then. We weren't supposed to do that. He was commanded not to do that. But he thought, well, I better do it because the people around me is starting to leave me. They're starting to scatter. And if I'm going to have this victory, I need my people with me. So he took Samuel's job. And he offered a burnt offering to God, which God would not accept anyway. He wanted the favor of God. How do you get favor of God? Be obedient to him in your life. And we see what happened here. Samuel was telling him, man, if you would just follow God, he would establish you forever on this throne. Forever. But because you were anxious, because he didn't have the patience to wait on God, he blew it, not just for himself, for those around him. And so he looks at us today, we need patience in our life. We need to follow what Jesus says. And sometimes the people around you are not going to like it. Come on, Kenny, let's go. No, I'm not doing that. Hey, man, listen, if you ain't doing that, we're going to leave. Well, I'm not going to. You know? I'm not going to. Because we see, it doesn't just cost us self. There's not one sin that just hurts yourself. Sin hurts the people around us. Amen? It does. And I know when a sin takes place, we can be repentive and we really seek forgiveness. But man, it just takes a while to bridge things back up again. Amen? And what God wants us to learn is let's stop before we get that far. You know? And we've all been through let's not compromise. Let's be obedient to God's Word. I found my own life. When I'm obedient to His Word, I have a lot more joy and peace in my life. Because I know I'm doing what God has instructed me to do. Whether you like it or not, whether that offends you or not, I'm here to please God. And that's where our attitude has to be. You know, I like to be liked by everybody. But after 40 years as a cop, I found out that's impossible, you know. I take 3% and be happy, you know what I'm saying? But my number one goal is to please my Heavenly Father. And I love to do that at the same time being friends with other people, but never ever compromise what God has told me to do and not to do. And Saul would have been the same way. He said, guys, listen, I know it looks pretty scary. Don't leave yet. Man, has God ever let us down yet? Has God ever turned His back on us yet? Hasn't He been with us through thick and thin? Yes, but the enemy's coming. The enemy's getting around us. Oh man, Samuel's not here. Hey, listen. God has never let me down. Stay here. Let's pray. Let's seek the Lord ourselves. We'll wait for the priest to come. If we would have done that, wow. And that's what godly leaders has to do. Stand on God's Word. Don't matter how bad it looks. You know, you say, well, thank God I'm a leader. If you're born again, you're a leader. You know, some of us are the leader or the head of our household. And sometimes your household can look pretty scary. Oh, no. And people want you to compromise. Yeah, but if you just do this. But God says don't do that. I can't lie to get things I need. Well, go, yeah, but no. We just stay on the Word of God. Say, man, I'm in charge of this household. And no, God will always come through. For His children, He wants to come through. That's where our faith comes from. Not to compromise. We say, hey, listen. As a joke. You're not wearing that Steelers shirt in my house. We're a Browns house. You know what I'm saying? Get it out of here, you know? Well, do I have the right to do that? Isn't it my house? Yeah. Your house, your body, is a temple of the Lord. You control what comes in and what comes out. Amen? We have to have the same attitude. Oh, no, not in this house. Not in this house, not my physical house at home. Because if you bring into my physical house at home, it's going to find its way into the spiritual temple of the Lord. And I'm not going to have that. I'm not going to have it. No. How much difference does that make in our lives? Have you ever fell in temptation before? You fell in temptation because it was sitting right beside you. I don't mean sitting, but it could be right beside you. You know what I'm saying? What's the best way to keep that temptation out? Excuse me. Get away from it. To get away from it. And if those who saw that day, they say, man, come on, you're in charge here. We need to do something. We're going to leave you. Hey man, if you want to leave, that's fine. Go ahead and go, but I'm not turning my back on God. God said, this is what I do. This is what Samuel do. And if Samuel don't show up, he'll answer to God why he didn't do what he's supposed to do on the seventh day. But for me and my house and myself, I shall serve the Lord. Amen? Yeah. If they want to scatter, go. Someone has to stand up. And people get scared. People get scared. And a lot of times, newer Christians will want to scatter quickly because they don't know. They haven't heard the testimony of God, that God's still alive, that Christ is still doing miracles, that He still is an awesome God. When He said that He'll supply all my needs, He'll meet all my needs. When He said in Matthew 6, He told me, hey, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things be supplied to you. You don't need to compromise. You don't need to allow sin to occupy your life. We don't need sin in our life in order to have our provisions made. It's just God. God's all we need. And not surrender. Don't surrender to those around you trying to pressure you to do things that we know God said not to do it. I mean, how many people start yelling at Saul later on? You told me, Saul said, hey, you told me, guys, he's going to scatter. Yeah, but you're in charge. It wasn't me God put in charge. You're the king. Excuse me. Yeah, I am getting better, but still. How quick they turn on you, too. How quick. You can't please people. No matter how much we try. So we make concentrate on pleasing God, number one. And everything else will come into place. Not saying everything will be hunky-dory. But man, if we're right standing with God, we are right standing with Him, everything for us will line up. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We'll just practice patience here for another 4 or 5 hours. And we'll be done. Yeah. Two more verses I'll share with you for today. Psalms 145:8. We might sit here today. I mean, I really blew a lot of things in my lifetime. But Psalms 145, verse 8, reminds us that the Lord is gracious and merciful. He's slow to anger and great in loving kindness. Think of that. Praise God that He is. Amen. Don't you love it that God is gracious and that He is merciful? We would not be here today if He was not gracious and merciful.
Amen.
We'd all be a memory. You know what I'm saying? Wiped out. He's slow to anger and He is great in loving kindness. I'm sharing with you from the New American Standard. Maybe your King James or whatever might read a little bit different. But the point of it is gracious and merciful. Does anyone want God not to be gracious and merciful? Okay. Anybody want God to be quick-tempered and not have loving kindness? No. No. Amen. I'm thankful He is. But remember this, for us, we are followers of Jesus Christ, are we not? Some of us are. We are to be like Jesus. So we need to be gracious and merciful. We need to be slow to anger and great in loving kindness. A little bit different, we say about ourselves, huh? We want mercy. We want you all to be gracious to me. Don't get mad at me, God. But God wants us to be the same to one another. And a great and loving kindness. Because God will never ask us to do anything that He hasn't already done Himself. Amen. And this is why we are so blessed with Jesus Christ as our advocate, because when we aren't gracious, when we're not merciful, when we are quick-tempered, and when we aren't full of loving kindness, man, we repent from that, our sins are forgiven, and we can start over again. Amen? But He wants us to be that way, gracious. And again, I don't mean to pick on Tim back here. But look how awesome it was. Seriously. I mean, I know. I love your testimony, because you could have went outside and blew it. Big time. Big time. But you didn't. You know? You didn't do that. You allowed God to work in your life. A few years ago, you would have been out there. Probably, yeah. Well, I'm just saying, we all would have been in different things. But see how much the Lord is working into our life. He is. And sometimes when we're not slow to anger, and sometimes when we're not full of loving kindness, and we know it, we go back and apologize. Hey, I blew it. I'm still upset at what you did. I've done that before. People that really, oh my lands. Hey, I acted wrong. You should have never done it. You should have never said that, but I should never responded to you that way. Yeah, I've cussed out supervisors before and went back and said, man, I should have never said that. I still disagree with you, but I should never, ever said that. Please forgive me. And they forgive you, you know. Growing in the Lord, as I grew, I found out not cussing them out again because I hated the part going back asking for forgiveness, you know. But rather just avoid all that, not ask for forgiveness, and then stick my foot in my mouth and ask for forgiveness. And the last verse for the day, you find in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29. Proverbs 14, 29 says, he who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. And ladies, he says he, but it means he, she. Okay, God made mankind, both male and female, so don't say, hey, listen, guys. Then we slap your husband in the head and say, listen. But he is slow to anger, has great understanding. Meaning, you can talk to me today and the things that you're saying could barely be upsetting me. But if I keep my mouth closed and listen to you, I'll get greater understanding of why you're saying what you're saying. Understand? Patience, yeah, understanding. Because if I'm not, and I come right back at you, I'm not going to understand. You come to me and say, man, I just hate cops. I've hated cops all my life. What do you mean you hate cops? I was a cop all my life. Why do you love me? Huh? Will that change your mind? Why do you hate cops? Oh, man, what's going on? Well, I just know that I used to watch them drag my daddy to jail all the time. I didn't like that. Oh, man, I understand. I wouldn't like that either. But, you know, what was Dad doing? And try to give an understanding to them, understand why they hated that, okay? I wouldn't want to see that either. I want that to take place in my life either. So now I have an understanding, and I leave more smarter than when I first come around them, okay? Wanting to understand one another. Yeah. And I might never change your mind, but at least now I understand why. And the other part of that verse says, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. And that goes back to the way I can put it. You ever put your foot in your mouth when you're running in your mouth? Yes. Oh, many, 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 many times. And you walk away, man, why did I ever say that? Why did I keep my mouth shut? Oh. There's hardly anything ever spoken out of anger. The more we look back at it, you can't remember what you said. And what you said really made a fool out of yourself. It just goes that we need to be quick to listen, but slow to speak. You know, it's like once you open that barn door and the cow gets out, whether you got the fence up or not, it's going to run. And if we open our mouth up, we need to open our mouths up, but make sure when we open it up that we're ready for what's going to come out of it. Amen? And sometimes it takes a lot of patience, and sometimes it's just keeping our mouth shut in situations and allow people to talk. Knowing that God will give us an opportunity to share. In our lives too, we're waiting for, man, God, you promised me this, you promised me that. He doesn't go back on his promises. His timing is always perfect. You know, remember we saw somebody, Abraham and Sarah, I think, wanted a baby. God says, you have a child. But he didn't say when, did he? They wanted it tomorrow. I mean, she wanted that baby in 9 months. I can see Abraham out there making the cradle and the swing set, buying them the footballs. He's ready for it right now because God gave him promise, you will have a child. But as time went on, hey, we need to help God out a little bit. Because, well, he said that we're going to have a child, so it really doesn't matter how we get one, do we? So, hey, you're your handmaiden over there. What do you think? Come over here for the night? We're going to please God, don't we? Huh?
He said we'd have a child.
We'll have a child. And back then you owned your slave, so that was part of you. But because Abraham did not wait on God, God will never cause you to step into sin to have His promise fulfilled. We had Ishmael born. And we are still feeling the effects today. You ever hear Islam? Because someone did not wait on God. And so may we learn from them, and may we always wait on Him. Then His word is true, and His timing is perfect. And not to be impatient. Amen? Amen.